1320 WILS. Some say Nancy Reagan was the most influential first lady in our history. Thomas Mallon is the author of, he's the author of many books. His latest one, Finale, a novel of the Reagan years. Thomas, great to have you here.
Thanks very much.
And you've written a lot of historical books. Now, when you write a novel, it's essentially, how do you do that? Because it's some fiction, some real history. How do you mix it up?
Well, you do a lot of research, and I don't write what is sometimes called alternate history fiction, you know, those sorts of novels where you change big things. You have the South win the Civil War or something like that. I sort of try to write what might have happened in addition to or behind the scenes of the things that people know. So I did a lot of research about Mrs. Reagan, among other things, for the book, and then tried to, you know, project what her motives might have been, what her feelings might have been, conversations she might have had, while things we know were going on.
The New York Times Review said your portrayal of the First Lady was, quote, humane, thoroughly convincing, and counts as one of the book's triumphs. What is your view on just how important she was to him?
Oh, I think she was very important. I mean, emotionally, she was absolutely essential to him. He used to refer to her as the woman who came along and saved his soul. She met him at a time he was very banged up emotionally. He'd been divorced by his first wife, Jane Wyman, the actress. And it was Jane Wyman who had wanted the divorce. Ronald Reagan did not. And he was really quite lost when he was in his early 40s. So emotionally, I would say she was everything to him. And politically, she was extremely important.
Yeah, he called her mommy, is that right?
He called her mommy. And, if you didn't like Ronald Reagan, the closeness you saw between the two of them, was kind of sickening. It was kind of icky. If you did like Ronald Reagan, you tended to be crazy about the fact that he had this extremely supportive wife.
And you write about the gaze. What was the gaze?
The gaze, G-A-Z-E, yeah, sometimes called the stare, when, she had this ability to fix her eyes on him adoringly and attentively when she was listening to him give a speech, and it was a speech that she had heard him give hundreds of times, you know, particularly if it was a campaign speech. And I have in the book her thinking, you know, people asked how she did that, how she maintained that attention. Mm-hmm. And I have the answer that she thinks being, well, it was simple. She never listened. Mrs. Reagan had also been an actress, as President Reagan had been, and their acting skills served them very well. And I don't say that dismissively at all. I think Reagan's skills as an actor gave him imaginative capacities that he wouldn't have had otherwise, and they gave her skills as well. Mm-hmm.
Do you believe she was playing a role in a sense?
Very much. Yes, but, they once asked Reagan, how can an actor become president of the United States? And Reagan said, I don't see how anybody who wasn't an actor could do this job. He thought it was essential to it. And as I say, in a way, when I thought a lot about this when I was writing the book, and if you look at somebody like Richard Nixon, who was a consummate geopolitical chess player, had enormous skills and knowledge beyond Reagan's, a mastery of detail and strategy and so forth. And yet, what Nixon lacked was a certain imagination that allowed Reagan to envision a world where the Soviet Union did collapse. Mm-hmm. That was a step beyond where Nixon's mind could go. He could do tremendous maneuvering with the Soviet Union, but he couldn't foresee that. Reagan had this fantasy capacity that actually, I think, served him very well, pushed him in directions that the country otherwise couldn't have gone.
Right. And by the way, I'm talking to Thomas Mallon, the author of Finale, a novel of the Reagan years. Why do you call it Finale?
Well, it's a show business term, and the book is largely about a portion of the Reagan presidency near the end. It's probably the worst moments of Reagan's presidency. Late in 86, Iran-Contra is breaking. The Reykjavik summit, which will become something of pride in the fullness of time, at the time is perceived as a fiasco. The Democrats are retaking the Senate. All of these things are coming at a time when all these social ills too, AIDS, homelessness, crack, or on the scene.
Everything was collapsing. And obviously he had an issue with Alzheimer's later in his life, but how, in the book, in your research, how much of a factor was that already becoming while he was president?
Well, I think Reagan was having memory lapses that worried him. Worried himself. You can see this in his diary sometimes. He's troubled when he is forgetting things. I don't think he was seriously impaired at that point.
And how is Nancy reacting to all this?
Well, this is the point at which I think Mrs. Reagan is the most important politically, because Reagan's presidency is on the ropes at the end of 86. Impeachment talk is in the air over Iran-Contra. It's tremendously serious. And Mrs. Reagan correctly perceives that one of the big problems is his chief of staff, Don Regan, that the White House needs to be shaken up. And Don Regan is really her mortal enemy, and she succeeds in getting rid of him. And Howard Baker comes in and puts the White House really back on course.
Now, how did she do that in your...
By relentlessly nagging her husband to get rid of Don Regan and enlisting the advice of friends, getting friends in the Washington establishment to persuade Reagan to dump Regan. And it was a period of personal tension between them. For all of the devotedness they had to each other, it's not true that they never argued. And one of the things that got into the press around that time was that Reagan had reportedly told his wife, "Get off my back," where Don Regan is concerned. Reagan didn't like firing people, and he didn't want to get rid of Regan. But Mrs. Reagan ultimately persuaded him, and she may have saved his presidency by doing that.
By getting rid of him. And she also, relatively public, the spats they had with the kids, right? What kind of a role did she play in that?
Well, she herself would admit, she says this in her memoirs, that there's no point in disguising the fact that she was probably more successful as a wife than she was as a mother. But on the other hand, But on the other hand, she and Patty patched things up as the years went on. She became very close to Maureen Reagan, who was Ronald Reagan's daughter by Jane Wyman, and she had a good relationship with her son, Ron Reagan, who's a very bright person and very different politically from his father, but somebody who's actually written very shrewdly about both of his parents.
Now, do you address the astrology issue? Because that became a big issue politically, concerns that they were into astrology. How into astrology was she?
Mrs. Reagan was pretty well into it. I mean, she would have people believe and this incidentally was Don Regan's revenge upon her. After he's fired, he writes a memoir that's published before the Reagans leave office, and he was one of the few people who knew about the astrologer, and in his memoir, he spills the beans about it. And it was very embarrassing, Mrs. Reagan. And her defense was that she was so worried about her husband after he had been shot by Hinckley in 81 that she took comfort in what the astrologer said would be opportune times for him to travel and times he should stay home. In fact, Mrs. Reagan's interest in astrology predated that. And there's some evidence that the president himself had an interest in astrology.
Do you believe decisions were being made based on the advice of the astrologer?
No, I think scheduling decisions were made. I think that's almost incontrovertible, that the astrology had an input into when the president would actually travel. Beyond that, I don't know that it had much of an influence. But Mrs. Reagan was very much... very keen on astrology, and even the president himself was not without his interest in it. You make a mistake if you forget to think of the Reagans as Hollywood people. Even when they were in politics for many, many, many years, when Reagan would have people in the Oval Office late in his term, he never told political war stories, even though he had plenty of them to tell. He always told old Hollywood stories. And Mrs. Reagan still was very taken with the old Hollywood hierarchies. I told my editor at one point, don't cut too much of the show business stuff, because that was the Reagan's frame of reference.
No, why is that? Did they view that as the best time of their life? Or?
Well, I think that they viewed it as a world that they had kind of fought their way into, in Mrs. Reagan's case, to a middle level of success, at Reagan's level to fairly high, in Reagan's case, to a fairly high level of success.
Because she had dated several well-known actors before she met Reagan, right?
And, Gorbachev may have been the chairman of the Soviet Communist Party, but Frank Sinatra was still the chairman of the board in Hollywood, and that counted for something with Mrs. Reagan.
Was she the more dominant, then, in the relationship between the two of them?
Ultimately, no, in that Reagan had strong political convictions of his own, but she was certainly listened to, and she was at times very, very good with tactics, and she definitely had an influence on him, definitely when it came to personnel. She had a very strong interest in deciding what people in the administration were in it for themselves and what people were in it to advance her husband. And the ones who were in it for themselves, woe betide them if they crossed, you know, Mrs. Reagan.
Should she be credited partially for him becoming president?
Oh, absolutely. I think that he had a lot of ambition himself. Nobody gets that job without it. But I think Mrs. Reagan kept him going, kept him organized, yeah. And sort of read him the Riot Act at crucial moments. And as I say, late 86 was the most crucial of those moments. I think that was the moment when Nancy Reagan was a genuinely important political figure.
Talking about influential, put her up against Hillary as first lady. How would you compare them?
I think Mrs. Reagan had better political instincts. I think, Hillary, of course, has gone on to be a politician herself, and if she succeeds in winning the presidency, one's going to have to give her certain marks for political instincts. But as first lady, I think Hillary's batting average was considerably lower than Nancy's.
Interesting, because Nancy was an actress. She knew what it's like to be in the limelight, but she never was interested in being political herself, it looked like.
No, I think that she did influence Ronald Reagan on a number of issues.
She never wanted to run for office or really put herself on the stage.
Certainly didn't want to run herself. No,
no.
And there was a very good story by I think it was Lou Cannon in Politico just the other day after Mrs. Reagan died about how reluctant she was to have him run for a second term. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, she was persuaded. And ultimately, though, it was his decision. He was the one who wanted a second term. But she was a complicated person and could be very harsh with people.
Did they have close friends, or was it just kind of the two of them against the world?
Oh, I think they did have close friends, but there was really nobody was able to sort of penetrate that bubble that they had over them, including their children. And I think this was something that she certainly would admit. She knew there were problems between them and the children, whereas President Reagan tended to gloss those things over.
Why do you think that was there? Why do you think the children didn't get to be part of that bubble?
I think there was just a closeness between the two of them that made the children. I mean, it's too harsh to say, you know, an afterthought. Mm-hmm. But I don't think the children ever fully completed a family circle the way the children usually do. There was something very, very strong between those two. And of course, by the time that the Reagans get to the White House, you know, the children are all grown. Mm-hmm. And so the White House was itself, you know, a kind of big empty nest. And so when they are in the White House together, Nancy and Ronald Reagan, they are for the most part very much to themselves.
He trusted her more than anybody else, though?
Yes, and I think not without reason. I mean, her devotion to him, even the people who disliked her the most, who had almost nothing good to say about her, I don't think ever questioned the sincerity of her devotion to Reagan.
Thomas Mallon, author of Finale, a novel of the Reagan years, your ninth novel?
Yes.
You have another one coming up?
I'm trying to write about the George W. Bush years these days.
That's going to be fantastic. Thomas Mallon, the book again, Finale, a novel of the Reagan years. Thomas, thank you very much.
Thank you.